nation, we sing a new song to every nation. I sing a new song to this generation. I am one. I am one. I am one. I'm not divided. I am one. I have provided. I am one. No one is forsaken. I am one. I am one. I am one. I'm not divided. I am one. I have provided for every need that you've decided. Oh, I am one. I am one. I'm love unending, mercy extending. I'm understanding. I am one. I am one. The whole intent of the Eternal Father's source was that he could sing this in harmony with somebody. He would have to sing it alone. That's beautiful. I just
can't. You need to learn the song. It's a new song. I haven't learned it yet. Well, as always, it's wonderful to be in your midst. And I've been so aware this morning as I was just getting ready for the meeting and opening my heart. And I was led to 1 John, first chapter. And it talks about when you have fellowship in the light, how it cleanses you from sin. And that's what I've experienced, the sin of not knowing Him and not truly knowing ourselves is washed and cleansed from us as we have fellowship in the light that Christ Jesus is in our midst. He's right here in our midst. He's, to me, Jesus is intimacy. When He first came to me, I felt identification that I never had before. I knew He knew me. And now we can know each other. We can truly know Him as we fellowship in the light that He is in us. So this weekend, I found myself cleansed. The darkness is cleansing from our beings, from our own genetic.
Yes.
And one thing, I was just felt really, as I was meditating, I felt to share this story this morning for some reason. So just a little story before Rokas ministers. And we're like all of you at our fellowship. We're very close to each other. We try to be there for each other. Sometimes, you know, we fall short, but we try to be there for each other. And anyways, there was a series of events, and unbeknownst to this individual, I was very hurt by something that she had said. I found myself just withdrawing. I thought, you know, I'll be nice to her, but man, I'm not going to give her my heart. It hurts too much. You know, we all know what that feels like. So I was up and exercising and in the morning doing my stretches, and God spoke to me just clear as day. He said, go turn on the TV. I'm like, okay. So I thought, well, I'm going to hear something, you know, on a political agenda. So I turned it on, and there was a doctor on. And all I heard was one phrase. It says, withdrawal is the precursor to death. That's all I heard. I turned that off. And I began to cry. And I said, Father, I thought I was withdrawing from that individual, but I was withdrawing from you. I was withdrawing from the Christ that is in my midst because of my personal offense, which really was nothing. And I just opened myself again and anew, and I said, you know, the ones that I need are in my space.
Yes.
Even if I might not like their personality, or they just, you know, they might comb their hair wrong, they're in my space to awaken me. They're in my space to help me grow. And as I open my being and I have fellowship in the light, that which comes forth from you will cleanse the darkness and the sin of not knowing in me. And so I think we have a wonderful opportunity. You hear us in Oldfield and our bodies together to come together, to let us reason together and hear the voice of the Lord in our midst. And I have, and it's been beautiful. And I just keep on hearing this song. Could we sing a song before you minister?
Yeah, let's sing.
So it's wonderful. Thank you all for having us. It's just been
wonderful.
Been a
while.
It's always an oasis to come here. It just is. So I want to live here now with you. Mm-hmm. I want to live here and now with you.
Right.
Could we sing that?
There's I knew a man, and his wife and him had pain, and they had two sons, and both sons had chemical deficiencies. They, I don't know, then I had to put them on drugs, you know, or something, you know, very, very painful.
Manic depressants.
Yeah. So, and then his wife and him separated. He was an architect, and we were wanting to build an octagonal building. We wanted a building. Gary stood up in our little building, our airplane hangar, and he just looked at the wall. He says, "Well, we're going to push this wall out."
That's our Gary.
That's how it, you know, the area that's really the original airplane hangar became the dining room and the kitchen area, you know. And then somebody, well, I don't know if you can't do that to this wall, I don't think, but you need bigger space around here. I didn't like Barbara saying that to us, you know, so you probably don't like me saying this to you, but it's okay. But yeah, you need a bigger space. I don't know how you can do it, but
maybe
you need to be expanding. I could feel it. And how beautiful is that, mm-hmm. you know, because, yeah, our heart is to get connected. Our heart is, here I am, Lord, you know, but it's wonderful when others come and we get connected and call it new blood. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good term or not.
You're finishing the story about Paul.
Yeah, and so I walked in, I saw an architect's office, I walked in and here, this guy, and then 5 years later, well, we just talked about buildings and didn't do anything. 5 years later, I met him somewhere else, turned out to be this guy again. So, whoa, there's a connection here, right? So I walked in and he was sitting, after some years now, we've got connected, we've been in meetings together and flowing, and I walked in on him and he said to me, Rokas, he said, it's just, this whole thing is just, what?
A path that leads nowhere.
It doesn't go anywhere. It's nowhere. Mm-hmm. It's a full of pain, and life is just a journey full of pain and sorrow, and it leads nowhere. And what do you say? Here's my best friend, practically, you know, sitting there. You know, his life is in shambles. He's, and what are you going to say? Yeah. You're saying, nah. Don't work. You sit down with him if he'll let you commiserate, you know, but you can't. So I said, listen, Paul, listen to what you just said. You said, nowhere. That's now and here. Everything's happened in your life brought you to now and to here. And here's the beginning of everything new. I had a friend who told me, is that the song?
Mm-hmm.
That all of life is but a journey. For full of pain and disappointment that leads nowhere.
I could feel his pain and sorrow, always living for tomorrow. And I told my friend the secret, what nowhere really means.
All the things that seem like failures,
all the broken empty places, are but stepping stones that lead us to the now and to the here. I want to live now and here with you. Hello, Terry. I want to live now. Yesterday's dream, tomorrow's maybe. Would've, should've, and what I could be. I wanna live here and now with you. I want to live here and now with you.
I wanna live now and here.
Should've, and what I could be. I wanna live here and now with you. All right, don't you love it?
Sweet.
There's something happening in us. There's a love being formed in us that transcends. We are having our hearts open to the great mysteries of the past. We're becoming great students of the mysteries, schools, and all those beautiful letters, and you can truly get lost in the beauty of it and the magnificence. Those fire letters are templates of creation. You know, just listen to the rabbis, they'll tell you that. And got it figured out, I think. They're templates of creation, and they existed before the material creation, and fire letters, and through them, right? Is that what the ancient wisdom says? And then all those letters got put together in an array of so many 40,000 or some characters called the Torah, and there was just letters, just energy, information, divine information coded in this encrypted thing called Torah. But then as the material creation unfolded, they became the stories of Joseph. Now that's what the rabbis say. I don't say that. I just repeat it. I like it. I wonder at it, but I don't know it. You know, like Lynn says, some things I know. Well, I have some things that I know, and I have some things I think about, and I have some things I believe. I love to think about all kinds of things, and I love to believe some stuff. You know, I love to believe that Obama really is sincerely wants the best for this country. I don't really want to believe that. I don't know if I can get there or not, but there's some things I know. Like Lynn, there's some things I know. And those are the things that I want to share, Adam. I want to share it with you, other things. And when I talk to you about things I think about and believe, I think that's great. There's worlds of books. I love the way you're so open. You got so many good books and thoughts and powerful. There's the ancient. I just picked up a book about the Hyksos dynasty of Egypt and Abraham. He wasn't some poor wandering shepherd trying to find some new grazing grounds. He was a wealthy, powerful man. You know, because we like to think God calls the poor and downtrodden, but Abraham was neither poor nor downtrodden. And God called him, Abraham, get thee out from thy kindred, thy kinfolk. The scientists, of course, and John could undoubtedly explain this better, but there's a concept that science come up with. It's called entanglement. You heard about entangled. When an atomic event takes place, and maybe two particles collide, and light is created, then if a photon goes off to the right with a positive spin and a positive energy, there has to be simultaneously created a photon with the opposite spin going in the opposite direction, because energy isn't created. It just changes form.
Manifest.
So, to balance, that positive spin has to have something exactly equal to it somewhere to cancel it out, because nothing new. It just changes form. So this atom or this photon goes to one end of the universe, and the other atom, the other photon, goes to the other end of the universe. How am I doing on this? Okay. All right. Not bad. He says, I get a nod here. That's good enough. So, and then they tweak this one. They tweak it. I don't know how you tweak something. You just take your nose and tweak it. They tweak this photon over here, and they watch the other photon. And the moment they tweak this one, the other gets tweaked. What happens to the one? Just boom, happens to the other instantaneously. It doesn't have to traverse time. It's just, they're entangled. They're entangled. Hallelujah. Did you know you're entangled? You're entangled. You know, and I like to say it this way. I like to think of it this way, because when I sing that song, I sing a new song to creation. I feel God. I'm not singing it. I feel the Father, source of life and light, pouring out His love and His intent and His pain. You know, I'm not divided. Everything you see around you is divided. Everything is, you tweak something, something else has to tweak somewhere else, because things are divided. Things are in two. Everything comes in pairs. You know, there's nothing, it's divided. Everything gets broken. Eventually something breaks and you're full of pain and you don't understand your brokenness. But you need to know that I am really not broken. I need to let you know that I'm really not broken. I'm not divided. And no one did this to me. No one forced me to go this direction. I'm not a victim of anything. I am out of my own being. I'm creating all things for my own pleasure. And the journey is beautiful, and in the end you will know it. See, that's what I hear. The Father of Light, His compassion is so torn, so turned towards us, so reaching for us in a way it's never been done. Never been before. I sing a new song to creation. I sing a new song to every nation. He's not just singing to the a few Israelites or Jews in Palestine, or a few Baptists in in Oak Ridge. Or I'm singing to every nation. I'm singing to every molecule, every vibration that ever left my being. I am connected. I am whole. I am one. I am not afraid. I want you to not be afraid. I want you to feel me. I want you to know that I'm not afraid. Hallelujah. So I like to think that I'm thinking about a moment in my life that I want to just share with you, not because it's got to happen to you like that. That puts impossibilities on our path. If you have to model your experience after mine to be holy, we're just creating another guru modality, another follow me stuff. And you know, the only reason Jesus really wants you to follow Him, because He knows that if you'll follow Him, He'll lead you to yourself. He's not trying to lead you to Himself. He's not even really trying to lead you to God. He just wants you, he knows that you can't have confidence enough to follow yourself. You don't know yourself enough. You don't have the revealing of that eternal God that you are. He knows you don't have it. So he's willing to put himself out there and say, hey, come, follow thou me. Come. Put your head in my chest. Put your hand in my hand. I'll love you. I'll carry you. And I will never, ever usurp your right of existence. I'll never abuse you. I'll never just use your energy for my own purpose and my own plan. Now, preachers will do that. Yeah. Husbands will do that. Wives will do that. Children do it. You know, it's called parental abuse. Yeah. Presidents will do it, and would-be presidents will do it. Yeah, we all do it because we're all on the journey. But God, that eternal source of life and light and being, knows only itself as love. And is totally aware of your incompleteness, or your feelings of incompleteness, your feelings of disconnectedness, your feelings that you're not really there enough, your feeling of all that you want to be and you don't think you can be. He feels all that. And he says, don't be afraid. He doesn't say, don't feel that way. He doesn't say, well, you shouldn't condemn yourself. He doesn't say, well, if you'd only this, if you'd only do that, if you just would drop that bottle or whatever. He doesn't do that. He doesn't. He gets in there with you and feels you. And he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Then he's not telling you not to be afraid, as if it's unspiritual to be afraid. He's okay with you being afraid, but he's just wanting you to let go of that fear and begin to, that modality of trust to begin in you. And some of us have really gone for him to the very end of mistrust. We've really, I mean, some of our lives are shattered. Some of the people we know are totally broken. And there seems to be no way to heal some. And we don't know, but we're beginning to know. Well, we're beginning to know that that thread is so beautifully redemptive, because how can we know that eternal Father, source of life and light and being, out of whom all things have come, in whom all things exist, who's the beginning of all things, the end of all things, and the middle, how would we know to trust him if we didn't know what it was like to not trust? She didn't know what it was like to be really betrayed and to feel the pain of betrayal, like Carolyn so beautifully said, I'm going to withdraw. Right? And, you know, if she hadn't been ready to hear that TV open up and speak to her, God wouldn't have put it on her. He'd let her do that. He'd let her withdraw. And some do, right? We do. But I like to think of it this way. And I just don't. I like to think of it this way. I like to think that God had an original thought. And I don't know if any of us ever have an original thought. You know, can we possibly think that what I think has not ever been thought by some human on some plane or some intelligence at some level in some other world, some other creation? That's hard to imagine. But I think God had an original thought. And the thought must have been really, really very original, because I don't know how he could have possibly have created it. But he had this thought, and it can be put in many different forms. But he says, he thought, well, I'd like to sing. I'd like to harmonize. I'd like to sing in harmony with somebody. I'd like to see what it feels like if there would be an other that I could let my voice just blend with her voice, and I could feel her through that voice, and we could make beautiful melody together. Now, how could he, since he was the only one around? I don't know if this kindergarten thinking. It's a good place to start, isn't it? I mean, it just might not go very. Might not become any kind of a bestseller or anything. But what if it's true? What if, see, whether or not it's really true, really quite as important as this. If I will entertain a thought, will it lead me to greater unfolding or will it shut me down? If I hold a certain thought, will it lead me to larger pastures? Will it help me to own what I am? Will it help me to become who I am? Will it help me find joy in being so that I can get up tomorrow and I don't have to just suck around for something to give me some validity, but I can find some kind of joy just in being me? If the path of life and the path of my thoughts will take me there, then that is a valid thought. So that's how I justify the simplicity of this little stupid thought that God had the thought. And the thought was, well, what if I could harmonize with somebody? What if I wouldn't be all one? What if I would dare I take the venture to just perceive an idea within myself that there might be an other? And the moment, of course, God doesn't think about something and do it. When God thinks, it happens, right? I mean, these are all visualizations, but hey, just suffer with me, right? But he had this thought, and he began to visualize something, and the thought, and once he did it, it went, myriads of thoughts came, and those myriads of thoughts, he clothed them with substance. He clothed the thought with substance, and he had an eruption. He had like a, well, I don't want to get too graphic about this.
His
being just exploded.
Yes.
Itself. Mm-hmm. That good?
Wow,
that's
yeah.
Good. All right. We can say it like that. And it was the most orgasmic thing he ever did. And he'd never been the same since. Well, this is a picture, right? It's not a... You can't find this written in some Bible somewhere, I don't think. Not exactly like I said it, anyway.
No.
And maybe nobody has ever said it just exactly like I'm trying to say it today, trying to feel it. But of all that, in all that explosion, there was a little tiny vibration that went out and took on a certain spin and took on a certain frequency, very, very unique. There was no other photon exactly like it. In all that he created, there was one little tiny one that took on a certain spin and it went forth. But where it came from, it's entangled to where it came from. It's connected. It can't exist on its own. It's a creation of energy. There has to be that counterpart to it. There has to be something that it's its completion, its counterpart. That, if it's separated, if it could separate itself from God, if it go forth, something had to remain in God to where it was entangled with, that God could always know that, because it is this. That is this. That is never, I am not divided. Even though you feel like you've been divided, even though you feel you got cut away, you got dropped, however you define it, however you feel about it. You know, you felt like at the wrong of a, end of a long shaft with a hard floor. Right? And then he called that, he calls it. He waits. He doesn't do it right away. I don't know how many millennia, how many unfoldings, how many worlds have passed, how many, maybe before even time even existed, right? If you believe the Matrix, there were at least five Zions. The architect said there have been five. He was talking to Neo, and he says, "You're the fifth one, and I know exactly where you're going to go. You know what you're going to do." And Neo says, "No, I'm not." Right? So there's that Genesis in you that's original, that comes from the divine source, that only you are. Nobody can possibly ever duplicate. Nobody can ever be. Nobody can ever imitate. They try, and they try to define you. They try to tell you who you are. They try to give you a delineation of thought that if you will only accept this bunch of thoughts, then you'll know who you are. And if you'll just follow this teacher and read this book, and if you'll just embrace these thoughts, then you know there is nothing in all worlds and in all realities that can ever define you and know you like you can know yourself. There's no guru enough, there's no book big enough, there's no wisdom wise enough. Know how far you want to go back, how many worlds you want to unearth. There is nothing out there that can define you. Only you can know you. Hallelujah. Only you can know you.
Yes.
You don't need to go anywhere to find it.
Amen.
You don't need to go in some mystery school. You don't need to go. It's great if you can. I'm all for it. There's wonderful things to be explored. But if you think you're going to find yourself, you're going to be disappointed.
Amen.
Because you're not there. You're right here. You're sitting right here, entangled. Connected to what you really are, unbeknownst to yourself, somewhere in the vastness that God is, you're entangled. And then out of that entanglement, God takes a moment in time. That happened to me. That's what I want to share with you, see. And I want to say that, hey, it ain't going to happen to you like it happened to me. And if you can compare, and it already has happened to you like it has not happened to me, let's say, okay, it doesn't have to be the same, right? We don't have to be the same. We don't want to be the same. The whole purpose wasn't to be the same. The whole purpose was to be different.
Yeah.
To be separate. So that you could become whole. So you could reach for that one. So he could feel his own love in you, wanting to be made whole. That's the song. We'll finish with it. We'll sing that. Say it. Well, I was teaching school. I was a physics teacher, and I loved teaching. I did. I loved my students. They did more for me than I ever did for them. And I would laboriously, studiously teach them about magnetism and about electricity and about friction and all the good stuff. And then at the end of the year, I would make up a test, and I'd have them regurgitate it all back to me, and then I would mark the test, and hopefully they would pass and say, "Yeah, you got a good grade." And I did that for some years. And one day I was walking around in the exam, and all my students were bent over. They were all good students. I never had too many students that didn't want to learn. So, and they were in their desks, and they were just writing away and studiously repeating all this wonderful stuff. And I was walking around, and I was crying. Just tears rolling down my face. God, is this all I came for? Is this all there is to it? Isn't there something more? Well, where did that come from? Where did that come from, Morgan?
Comes out of you.
It comes out of me. I had a memory,
yes,
of entanglement.
Yes.
With something else, with something greater. It's in this limited thought form that I came in as a teacher. You know, it's good. There's nothing wrong with being a good teacher. God, we need good teachers. And people are totally satisfied. Find great joy all their lives teaching, and it just totally satisfies them, and they're okay. They don't walk around crying. thinking there needs to be something else. They don't have that disease. Right? But I did. I wasn't satisfied. I couldn't be content. And then I looked forward. Well, I had a moment, you know, before I finished that part of the story. Let me finish this. So all at once, I heard a voice. I think it was Jesus. Sometimes I know when Jesus talks to me, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just think it's him. So it doesn't really matter, because it was definitely God. And I know that because of the vibration, because of what it felt like. Mm-hmm. And God said, I have called you. No, I had people prophesy over me, you know. Yeah, surely, you know, and I would call the God and whatnot. And that was good. You know, that really kept me going. But when I heard that voice inside of myself, I have called you, you know. And it's like Abraham, look at the stars. He says, I call them all forth. I call them by name. How does God know how to call them by name? Because he in himself has that entangled knowing of you, that vibe, and all he has to do is send out that frequency and touch the frequency that you're, and that's calling you. It jerks you. It tweaks you. It helps you to remember something about your original programming that he placed in you from the beginning, a thought that only he really knows that's you, and it tweaks you, and you have a memory thought. And the memory thought in me was, oh God, isn't there something more? And then God says, I have called you. And everything in me just sort of, the dam burst, and I broke, and it was okay. Then everything, somehow everything became all right. In that moment of time, when God spoke to me and said, I have called you, everything became all right. Now, it doesn't mean that it's been peaches and roses ever since. It doesn't mean I haven't been, you know, I've been in the bottom of the well looking up. I have. I felt desperately alone at times until Carolyn came into my life. I didn't even know I was alone. Until I met her, I finally realized I was alone. So, but when that awareness came to me, when God says, I have called you, I really think that that was a frequency of light that came out of the very source of his heart and being, out of that entangled me, and touched me and tweaked me and helped me to remember that I'm connected to all that God is. I am whole. I am complete. See, and I couldn't have said all that back then. I didn't know all that. I didn't know what that, there's purpose for my life. That's what I was looking for. I was looking for some meaning. I was looking not to be just teaching students and regurgitating and then to do this 20, 50 years and then get retired and buy a house in Florida and be done. You know, just that whole project, it just never seemed to really have a great deal of joy for me to ever even, I just couldn't even think that way hardly. I needed something, desperately needed some other kind of definition for my life. I've called you. How beautiful it is to know, you know, and then you pick up a book like, it's in here. This really stumps me. You know, it's okay. Everything doesn't have to agree. You know that? Everything doesn't have to be the same. It doesn't all have to be true like you think it's true. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And here is a magnificent book. Wow, I haven't been able to fully read it, but lots of people are really being wonderfully blessed by it. And this book says, there is no such thing as special. Nobody's special. Nobody is called. Well, I beg to differ. But they're meaning something else, right? They're trying to say something. They're trying to say something to people who vault themselves over others. Say, well, I'm called and you're not. Who try to make themselves special because they and put special robes on themselves so you can admire them. And they can serve your purpose and your end. They try to usurp people's individualism and their own individual energy and absorb it into themselves, suck their energy, and never allows them to live.
Yeah.
And those energies are on the planet. They're in the cosmos. They cloak themselves often with, you know, it's not just religion, folks. It's everywhere. You know, you've seen it. You've been it. You've done some of it. If you've served in any big company, you know, that company wants to suck up, you know, wants to suck the souls. But, you know, it's not all bad. Come on, Rokas, don't go down that road. It's all good, too. It's wonderful. It's right. But the joy of it is, in this wonderful uniqueness. I am called. My Father called me, draws me back to Himself, tweak me, help me to remember that I'm part of Him, awakens in me the latent memory of my oneness and my wholeness with Him. See, and so I don't know what's all going to happen with us. We're on a different track, you know. We've turned a corner. You've individually turned a corner. You're turning a corner. Just I don't know what, but you're definitely. I know. I feel it in you. You're finding joy. You're turning a corner. How beautiful is that? We're turning a corner collectively. We don't know what's on the road for us immediately ahead, but I know this, that there is a greater awareness of joy, that this joy of being me. And I give me the freedom to let you be you. I want you, totally, to be you, and I want to know you as you are. Well, how can I do that? Because I found joy in being me. If you don't find any joy in being yourself, you're going to try to make the gravy train work and get somebody in your boat with you and to do something, create something, some kind of prison house for yourself and for others. No, but the tremendous joy and liberty, and you don't really have to convince anybody that you're right, you know. And you don't have to form a thesis anymore that others can believe so we can all believe the same thing. You don't need to do that anymore. That's God's job, whatever job that is. You don't need to do that. That's all. We've done that for ages. We've done it with great success and great failure. And it's been served a great purpose. It's been wonderful when people have stood up for their beliefs and got persecuted and they got thrown to the lions and Roman Catholic Church burnt them and Nero put them to the lions and all that has been really, really important. It's been important to stand up for what you believe and to suffer for your faith and not to deny Christ and all that. And it's been really, really wonderful. But I tell you what, there's a whole new world opening so big and so wonderful and so full of life and light that you don't need to defend anything.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Chloe. Let's sing that song. Thanks for letting me talk to you. It's just wonderful to just sort of just help me feel myself with you and let's touch each other, because nothing can give us life except those that are on a similar path with you. Something, people that are experiencing things you're experiencing, they can comfort you, they can strengthen you, you can absorb their life and their light, because you're on the same journey, you know. And if they don't have any understanding of you, they don't like the way you're thinking, they don't like the books you're reading, you might spend a little bit of time with them because you're your family or your friends, but you're not going to want to be in bed with them continually. That's, no, you don't want to do that. Would you be
at home?
Would you leave all that behind? Would you walk as I unfold? Leaving knowledge and thoughts aside, would you walk with me today? It's the only true way. There's no room for doubt or pride. As I am, you are alive. Let's pitch it up a little bit and try it again. Would you be made whole? Yes, Lord. Would you leave all that behind. A beautiful line, leave lack behind. Oh, you don't need to destroy it. You have feelings of lack. You know, you need a car, you need love, you need a wife, you need a, yeah, this is okay, but just leave it behind in your thoughts and realize that you don't really need anything. Just to be you. Mm-hmm. Would you leave all that? I want to go there. I can't do it. I want to fix this engine. I got it sitting in my van. I don't want it to fail. I don't want to put it in that car and it not start. I got those feelings. Feelings of lack, and maybe I won't do it right and I'll bring it back. Or you know, you got all that. That's okay. But I'm not going to let that define me.
Yes.
Right? It's not who I am, it's just an experience. I'm creating for myself to know that I'm more than that. Yes, I'd be made whole. I'll leave all lack behind. I would walk as you unfold. Leaving knowledge and thoughts aside, I would walk as you today. It's the only true way.
There's no room for doubt
or pride. As you are, I am alive. All right, thank you.
But you all sang, you sang one at the table last night that was the tune of some kind of classical or...
Yes.
Would you all sing that one?
Yeah, The Veil Upon My Spirit has been lifted. Yeah, yes. that's a really very, very special song to Rupa Sanai, a lady in his fellowship in Canada. He had a fellowship in Canada. Stood up, and it's the tune of a song that you heard on the radio. But for a moment, she saw the ones there as they truly were eternally. And she just stood up and sang this song. So it's a very special song to us all, to Rokas and I and the ones that were there. So.
A veil upon my spirit has been lifted, and I have glimpsed before the dawn of time. Before the worlds were formed or ever existed, I see the Elohim in state sublime. And now an echo in my earthly being, so faint but clearly doth this anthem swell. Oh, you are beautiful, and I love you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. You fall in love with each other like this, and you're doing it. You're going to connect your boats so tight together they can never break apart.
And have life.
And have life together and whole. Without bondage, without expectations, without limitations, freely connected in the divine knowing of eternal being. How's it sing?
I joy
in this blessed harmony of heaven, and draw its cadence down to earth in me. I am these blessed beloved ones around me, as Elohim exists eternally. And now the essence of my very being, absorbed in this new unity, must climb. Oh, you are spoken words can tell.
Oh,
you are beautiful, and I love you dearly, more dearly than the spoken word can tell. She was killed in an automobile accident shortly after she wrote that song, her and her husband. And I understand now why that had to be. We couldn't live it. We didn't know how to live in that kind of love. We really didn't. We were too ego-driven, too attached to the earth, too much in ourselves. We didn't know how to live. We didn't know how to love. We couldn't absorb that kind of love. But, strangely enough, she had a habit of being able to pick up four-leaf clovers. And I was walking around and saying, "Well, I really miss you, Clara." And I looked down and there was a four-leaf clover. And I've been able to do that ever since. Every time she comes around, in fact, her daughter, her granddaughter was living in Sparta, and I went to see her, and she was going through a great pain with her mother. And I stepped out of the car and I could feel this woman's spirit. And I looked down and I picked up a four-leaf clover and a five-leaf clover. And she was there in that room. I tell you, when that event happened and the crisis point was turned for that girl. So we're living in a world, we are entangled with the other dimensions. We are. We're not alone. We just feel very alone. So, all right, thank you. Thank you so much.
Stop. I want you to sing that. That you sang about Yahweh the other night. He said God woke you up and gave you this song.
Okay.
And you sang about Yahweh.
Oh, that, you know, you mean with that actual little phrase in it, Yahweh.
I don't remember. I just remember it.
When was it? Sometime.
Not before last.
Yeah.
Was it Yahweh or Yeshua?
Yeshua.
Oh, that one.
Oh, that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think personally, I don't know, you know, we all have to experience what we experience, right? I don't think I could have made my journey if Jesus hadn't come to me.
No. That's her answer.
It's just so, I don't want to push that on people, you know. I don't want to say you got to, you know, love Jesus. I don't think you can love him until you know him anyway. It's just a religious thing. You know, people went and killed other people in the name of Jesus. So apparently, believing in Jesus isn't all that hot sometimes. You know, it can lead you to do whatever you want to do with it. So just, but for me, and I'm freely free to share, very free to share that with you, of course, here. But to me, I just don't want to be involved in any project that I don't think is him. I don't have some awareness. So this is, we were on the road, Carol and I had to be separated from everything, and not so much because of anything wrong with what we were involved in. But the only way to open yourself to that which is new, you have to set aside what's really treasurable to you. What you really treasure, you do need to set aside, because you just can't love two things. You can't have two masters. See? So God gave us the privilege of, you know, what she went through with her children, what I went through with my family. But it was a privilege for us so that we could embrace a newness. Well, I don't think everybody has to go through what I... Thank God they don't. But,
yeah,
sing the song.
Let me just share what happened when we got this song. It was really a profound experience when we first traveled, because we just had each other and such a cry in our heart for Yeshua and to love his people. And, you know, here we know all of you. How wonderful. What a treasure. What a wonderful treasure to be with each other. We're in heaven, guys. But when he received this song, my spirit had left my body, and I was looking down at him. I've had those kind of experiences all my life, and he had his head on the rock like Jacob had his head on the rock. And he sat up in bed, sang this song, laid back down to go to sleep, and then my spirit left again, and I was watching him, and he had his head on this rock, and I knew that it was, and just as Jacob was on a new part of his journey, we were too together.
It gave us confidence, you know.
Yeah, but it was just such a phenomenal experience, so I just wanted to share the background.
Young Hashua, I love you more than tongue can ever tell. And my dear Johnny, I love you more than houses or lands. Yahshua, I love you more than children or family. Yahshua, let me walk in my calling. See, he called me, see? I knew that. He called me years ago, and this song, I reminded him of that. Let me walk in my calling with you, Yahshua. I love you more than tongue can ever tell. Yahshua, I love you more than houses or lands. Yahshua, I love you more than children or family. Yahshua, let me walk in my calling with you. We all have a very, very rich ancestral, genetic, and appointed destiny.
Yes.
And it behooves us to reach for it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.